So we'll start. Today we will now whatever left over in the first verse. So we have some questions left, and we have to also we will chant once. First I'll chant the Mangalacharan. Namo Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Preshtaya Bhutale Srimate Bhakti Vedanta Swaminiti Namine. నమస్తే సారస్వతి దేవే గౌరవాణి ప్రచారిణే నిర్విశేష శూన్యవాది పాశ్చాత్య దేశ తారిణే జై శ్రీ కృష్ణ చైతన్య ప్రభు నిత్యానంద శ్రీ అద్వైత గదాధర శ్రీవాసాది గౌర భక్త బృంద హరే కృష్ణ 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 హరే 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 రామ 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 హరే 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 కృష్ణ. సో వి విల్ స్టార్ట్ అవర్ డిస్కషన్ అండ్ ఐఎమ్ జస్ట్ హోపింగ్ అండ్ ప్రేయింగ్ దట్ ది signal remains good because generally during this time previously I used to have issues, but they say that at this place generally the signal strength is quite good even at this time of the day. So if you can't hear me properly, you keep updating me so that I get some feedback. So you just can type and send the feedback if in case my voice is not clear or if it is breaking or if the call is getting dropped like that. So now we will complete this verse. We will for one last time. I am sure some of you must have become attached to this verse also, because we have been discussing it for so many weeks. So some of you might start feeling separation from this verse. We will no longer be able to discuss this verse like that. So for one last time, of course this is not last time, you can always keep chanting it every day and keep meditating on the deeper meanings that the acharyas have so kindly given us. So this need not be the last time, you can definitely keep doing it many times. So we'll chant. Gurau goshte goshtalayishu sujane bhusuragane swamantre shrinamni vrajanavayuvadvandvasharane sadadambam hitva kururatimapurvamatitaram aye swantarbratashchatubirabhi ache dhritapada. So in this verse, as we saw, as we have been seeing for the last many weeks, Raghunath Das Goswami requests his mind with sweet words. He is begging, falling at the feet of his mind and begging, "Oh my mind, please do just these two things. Develop attachment to these eight things and give up your attachment to Maya. Give up these various manifestations of Maya." That's what he says here by the word sada dambam hitva kuru ratim apurvam atitaram. Develop this unprecedented intense attraction to gurau goshte goshtalayishu sujane bhusuragane swamantre shrinamni vrajanavayuva dvandvasharane. So through various commentaries we have already discussed in detail the meaning of this particular verse. So now to conclude, actually in the beginning we did this once, but we will do this exercise once more, because Bengali bhajans are little sweet. So in Bengali the essential teachings have been summarized in the form of a small bhajan by Srila Bhaktivinod Thakur in his Manas Siksha Bhasha. So we will just chant this once, and then we will move on to the question and answers. So he says, Guru Deve Vrajavane Vrajabhumi Vasi Jane Shuddha Bhakte Ara Vipragane Ishta Mantre Hariname Yugalabha Janakame Kararati Apurvayatane. He says, Gurudeve, Gurudev, Gurau, Vrajavane, गोष्ठे व्रजभूमि वासी जने गोष्ठालयेषु शुद्ध भक्ते सुजने आर विप्रगणे इस भूसुरगणे गुरुदेवे व्रजवने व्रज भूमि वासी जने शुद्ध भक्ते आरे विप्रगाणे इष्ट मंत्र हरि नामे युगल भजन कामे कररति अपूर्व यताने. So to these eight things, Ishta Mantra is one's mantra. Gurav Goshte, Goshtalayeshu, Sujane, Bhusuragane, Swamantre. And Hariname Shri Namni. Vraja Nava Yuva Dvandva Sharane is Yugala Bhajana Kame. Kararati Apurvayatane. Gurav Goshte, Swamantre Shri Namni Vraja Nava Yuva Dvandva Sharane. सदा दंभम हित्वा कुरु रतिम अपूर्वाम अतितराम डेवलप दिस इंटेंस अटैचमेंट दैट्स व्हाट ही इज टेलिंग दिस इज इन सिंपल बंगाली सो वी विल चैंट वंस मोर गुरुदेवे व्रजवने व्रज भूमि वासी जने शुद्ध भक्ते आर विप्रगाणे इष्ट मंत्रे हरि नामे युगल भजन कामे कररति अपूर्वयताने धरि मन चरणे तोमारा धरि आई कैच होल्ड ऑफ मन ओ माइंड चरणे तोमार आई कैच होल्ड ऑफ योर फीट माय डियर माइंड जानिया ची एबे सार कृष्ण भक्ति बिना आर नाही गुचे जीवे रा संसार Janiyachi ebesar, oh my dear mind, understand that this is the essence. Krishna bhakti vina ar, without Krishna bhakti, nahi guche jivera samsar, the soul cannot escape the cycle of birth and death. Therefore, sada dambam hitva kuru ratim apurvam atitaram. Therefore, you should develop unprecedented intense affection for these eight things, because to develop bhakti towards Krishna directly is very difficult, but by gradually developing attachment to all these things which are connected with Krishna, it becomes very easy to develop attraction. That's what it is mentioned here. Then कर्म ज्ञान तप योग सकलित कर्म भोग कर्म चढ़ाई ते के हो नारे सकल चढ़िया बाय श्रद्धा देवी गुण गाय यार कृपा भक्ति दीते पारे कर्म ज्ञान तप योग कर्म ज्ञान तप एंड योग सकलित कर्म भोग So, will only further bind one to karma. Will only bind one to this material world. Karma chada ite keha nare. And certainly one cannot give up attachment to performing material activities just by practice of karma jnana tapa yoga. So therefore, what should one do? సకల చడే అబాయ్ శ్రద్ధా దేవీర్ గుణగాయ్ గివ్ అప్ ఎవ్రీథింగ్ గివ్ అప్ దిస్ కర్మ జ్ఞాన తప యోగ అండ్ శ్రద్ధా దేవీర్ గుణగాయ్ సింగ్ ద ప్రేస్ ఆఫ్ ద గాడెస్ ఆఫ్ ఫెయిత్ ఓన్లీ ద గాడెస్ ఆఫ్ ఫెయిత్ ఇన్ ప్యూర్ డివోషనల్ సర్వీస్ కెన్ సేవ్ యూ దేర్ ఫోర్ యూ షుడ్ సింగ్ హర్ గ్లోరీస్ ఇఫ్ యూ వాంట్ టు ఎస్కేప్ సంసార యార కృపా భక్తి దేతే పారే By the grace of Shraddha Devi, you will get bhakti. So therefore, instead of endeavoring very hard to practice the path of karma, jnana, tapa, yoga, all you need to do is to sing the glories of Shraddha Devi. And that Shraddha Devi will give you bhakti. And by that bhakti, you can cross over this ocean of samsara.
Chadidamba anukshana smara ashta tattva mana करताहे निष्कपटराति सेरत प्रार्थना श्रीदास गोस्वामी पाय
ए भक्ति विनोद करे नाती। तो इसे चाड़ी दंब अनुक्षण, सो गिव अप ऑल काइंड ऑफ प्रिटेंशंस एवरी टाइम ऑल द टाइम। स्मर अष्ट तत्व मन एंड फेवरेबली मेडिटेट ऑन हाउ यू कैन डेवलप अट्रैक्शन टू दीस एट तत्व गुरु गोष्ठे गोष्ठालेषु एंड सो ऑन। करता है निष्कपट राति, नॉट ओनली मेडिटेट बट ऑल्सो पॉजिटिवली एंडेवर इन डेवलपिंग अ वेरी सिंपल हार्टेड गाइडलेस फेथ टुवर्ड्स दीस एट things, attraction, guileless attraction towards these eight things. Seirati prarthanai shridasa goswami pai e bhakti vinoda kare nati. Seirati prarthanai, hankering for that kind of apurva rati, shridas goswami pai, so e bhakti vinoda kare nati. This bhakti vinod Thakur is offering obeisances at the lotus feet of Shri Srila Raghunath Das Goswami and begging for this apurva rati, intense attraction towards these eight things. Like that, in these four verses, he very beautifully describes. So those of you who like Bengali, or even if you may not like Bengali, but still it's little bit more simpler than Sanskrit. So if you have a desire, you can memorize them just like any other bhajan. You can sing these eight bhajans, and you have, we will take at least a year to complete. I thought we could complete it easily in a year, but at the speed at which we are going, it may take more than a year also. So you have lot of time to memorize eight bhajans. I mean, sorry, not eight bhajans, 12 bhajans. So one bhajan a month and one verse a month, you know, even if we take one month, one verse, like that, so easily you can memorize. So we will chant the bhajan once.
Guru deve vrajavane vrajabhumi vasi jane shuddha bhakte ara vipragane ishta mantre hari name yugala bhajana kame kararati apurva yatane दरी मन चरणे तो मार जानी अच्छी ए बेसार कृष्ण भक्ति विना आर नहीं गुचे जीवे संसार कर्म ज्ञान तप योग सकलित कर्म भोग कर्म चढ़ाई ते के हो नारे सकल चढ़ी अबाय श्रद्धा देवी गुण गाय यार कृपा भक्ति दीते पारे चाड़ी दंब अनुक्षण स्मर अष्ट तत्व मन करता है निष्कपट राति सेरति प्रार्थना श्रीदास गोस्वामी पाय हे भक्ति विनोद करे नाति।
ओके, सो दैट ब्रिंग्स अस टू द एंड ऑफ दिस फर्स्ट वर्स. Now, as I had promised last time, to cover three things. One of it was Bhaktivinod Thakur's Manasiksha Bhasha. We will chant these verse, this bhajan once. That's what we decided. And two more questions were to be addressed. So one of the questions was about, if my memory is right, I think Madhavi Gopi Mataji asked the question about I think, what is it about going back home, back to Godhead? So I will, if she has joined, I think, yeah, she has joined. I will unmute you, Mataji. Can you please ask that question again so that we can take that discussion further? Hare Krishna. Madhavi Gopi Mataji, I have unmuted you. Can you please ask?
Hare Krishna.
Yes,
yeah, Mataji. I'm also just trying to frame the question what I had asked earlier. ओ हाँ, जस्ट गिव मी अ मिनट लाइक.
और शुड वी टेक दैट क्वेश्चन नेक्स्ट?
या दैट्स विल बी फाइन ब्रो जी.
ओके, एंड अनदर क्वेश्चन दैट वाज आस्क्ड वाज, वी हैड डिस्कस्ड अबाउट दैट डिफरेंट स्क्रिप्चर्स टॉक अबाउट दिस कनिष्ठ अधिकारी, मध्यम अधिकारी एंड उत्तम अधिकारी इन डिफरेंट वेज. सो आई हैड मेंशन दैट आई वुड डिस्कस अबाउट दैट. सो वॉट आई विल डू इज आई विल शेयर दैट स्लाइड with you, and let me try to search for it. Okay, so I had prepared this for our Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu discussion, and how these terminologies are used in a very contextual base. These are not universal terminologies. So, okay, someone has framed that question for Mataji, so we will take that question later after this. So, we will see this. So, now we are going to see the definition very briefly. Even if you don't understand these definitions completely, don't worry about it. That is because that is not the focus of our discussion right now. I am just trying to make a point that how many times in Shastras, terminologies are used in very contextual ways. So just to make that point. So if you don't understand the definitions very clearly, don't worry, because that is not our focus. So now, in Nectar of Devotion or in Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu, in describing about Vaidhi Sadhana Bhakti. So Srila Rupa Goswami talks about what is Vaidhi Sadhana Bhakti. In describing that, he gives the definition of Uttam Adhikari, Madhyam Adhikari and Kanishta Adhikari. So you have to understand all three, including the Uttam Adhikari, Uttam Adhikari, Madhyam Adhikari and Kanishta Adhikari of Nectar of Devotion are all Vaidhi Sadhakas only. They are not perfected devotees. They are Sadhakas. Okay. So Rupa Goswami defines Shastre Yuktaucha Nipuna सर्वता दृढ़ निश्चय प्रौढ़ श्रद्धोधिकारी सबक्ता उत्तमो मत. He says, what is the definition of उत्तम अधिकारी? He says, शास्त्रे युक्तौ च निपुण. He must be skillful in scripture and logic. Scripture and scriptural logic. He must be very expert. And then Sarvata Dhrita Nischaya, he must be completely firm in his belief. Completely firm in his belief means he should have perfect understanding of what is Sambandha, what is Abhideya and what is Prayojan. From all the directions, he must have firm understanding. So this firm understanding should not just be knowledge. This firm understanding should lead to deep faith. So which is called as Prauda Shraddha. So Prauda Shraddha is deep faith, which means unshakable faith. Whatever anyone may do under any kinds of external situations, he will not give up the process of bhakti. That is deep faith. Prauda Shraddhodhikari yaha sa bhakta uttamamata. He is considered as an uttamadhikari in Vaidhi bhakti. You see, very specific definition. He is a Vaidhi Sadhaka only. This Uttama Bhakta is also a Vaidhi Sadhaka. He is not a Bhava Bhakta or a Prema Bhakta. But within Vaidhi Sadhana, he has very deep-rooted faith and conviction. This is Uttama Adhikari. And Madhyama Adhikari he defines as Yas Shastradishu Anipuna Shraddhavan Satu Madhyama. The person who is not fully conversant with scriptures, like the Uttama Adhikari, but has firm conviction in them, Shraddhavan. Sa Madhyama. He is a Madhyama Adhikari. And who is a Kanishta Adhikari? Yo Bhavet Komala Shraddha Sa Kanishto Nigadhyate. One who has very weak faith. So, weak faith, but faith in pure bhakti only. It is not mixed faith. So, he is Kanishta Adhikari. Weak faith means when someone, he has not studied the scriptures properly, neither does he have Shastric knowledge, nor does he have Shastric logic. And his faith is very weak because of that. So such a person, when a practitioner, when a strong practitioner of other path, he presents various shastras, quotes various shastras and logically presents, then his faith may get little bit shaken. But later he will think that, oh, anyway, whatever shastra he is quoting, I don't know. And whatever shastra my Guru Maharaj quoted, that also I don't know. So both their logics I have to accept based on faith only. It is better to put my faith on Guru Maharaj than to put faith on this person whom I don't know. Like that, he puts the faith on Guru Maharaj. But he still has not studied the shastras and developed the faith which is more deep rooted. So that will take time. So in this way, in NOD defines the Kanishta Adhikari, Madhyam Adhikari and Uttam Adhikari. Okay. So now, if you see, these are not standard terminologies. This is one definition according to... according to this definition, if you see, an Uttam Adhikari of Nectar of Devotion, he could be anywhere between Nishta to Asakti. But he cannot be Bhava or Prema because he is still within the Vaidhi Sadhana, Sadhana Bhakti only. And the Madhyam Adhikari can be anywhere between, he will be in Anartha Nivritti stage only. And same is with the Kanishta Adhikari also. He will be anywhere between Shraddha to Anartha Nivritti. So this is what is a Nectar of Devotion definition. Now, if you see Nectar of Instruction, same Rupa Goswami's book, here he gives, talks about three levels of devotees, but the context is slightly different. He says, Krishneti yasya giritam manasadriyeta diksha stityetpanativischa bhajantamisham shushrushaya bhajana vigyam ananyamanya nindadishunya hridamipsita sangalabhya. So he says, who is Kanishta Adhikari? Krishneti yasya giritam manasadriyeta. If someone chants the name of Krishna once, of course, this means with faith. With faith, with proper faith, when one chants the holy name of Krishna, one should mentally honor that person. So this is, he can be anywhere between Shraddha to Anartha Nivritti, the Kanishta Adhikari. Okay. Dikshasti Chet. But if by practice of devotional service, he becomes qualified to receive Diksha from the Supreme Lord, then one should offer obeisances to him. So this Madhyam Adhikari could be anywhere between Anartha Nivritti to Asakti, anywhere he can be. Shushrushaya Bhajana Vignam Ananyam Anya Nindadi Shunya Hridamipsita Sangalabhya. But if there is a person who is absolutely free of the tendency to criticize others and he is engaged in undeviated devotional service and he is an expert in that devotional service, then he is a Uttam Adhikari and one should earnestly try to seek his association and serve him. So this Uttam Adhikari, according to Nectar of Instruction, definitely is at the stage of Bhava or Prema. Okay. So this is a slightly different definition. If you see classification according to Srimad Bhagavatam, Srimad Bhagavatam also talks about Kanishta Adhikari, Madhyam Adhikari and Uttam Adhikari. In the 11th canto, in the teachings of Navayogendras to Nimi Maharaj, this definition comes. Sarva bhuteshu yappashyet bhagavad bhavam atmanah bhutani bhagavati atmani esha bhagavatottamah. So who is a uttama bhagavat, who is a uttama adhikari? He says, one who sees within everything the soul of all souls, the personality of God at Sri Krishna. Consequently, he sees systematically everything in relation to the Supreme Lord and understands that everything that exists is eternally situated within the Lord. Stavara jangama deki nadeki tara murti sarvatra hai nija ishta deva spurti. Whatever he sees, it reminds him, it inspires him to meditate on his worshipable Lord. He is definitely at the stage of bhava and prema. The Madhyam Adhikari, ईश्वरे तदधीनेषु बालिशेषु विशस्तु च प्रेम मैत्री कृपोपेक्षा यकरोति स मध्यम. सो ए मध्यम अधिकारी इज वन हु इज एंडेवरिंग टू डेवलप लव टुवर्ड्स गॉड हेड, फ्रेंडशिप टुवर्ड्स अदर डिवोटीज एंड compassion towards those who do not have bhakti and are but are innocent, and he tries to avoid those people who are inimical to devotional service or Krishna. So this person can be anywhere between anartha nivritti to asakti. And a kanishta adhikari, he says, is archayam eva haraye pujamya shraddaye hate natat bhakteshu chanyeshu sabhakta prakrita smita. He says here, a Prakrita Bhakta or a Kanishta Adhikari is one who worships the deities, but he does not believe that the devotees are special people. So that faith is not there in him. So Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur says, in such a case, his faith in bhakti is not according to Shastras. His faith in bhakti is sentimental faith, Laukiki Shraddha. So Laukiki Shraddha is not pure devotional faith. So the Kanishta Adhikari, according to Bhagavatam, is actually outside the realm of pure devotional service. So like that. And in Chaitanya Charitamrit, in two places, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu talks about three Adhikaris. One is in his teaching to Sanatan Goswami, Sanatan Siksha in the Madhyalila, where he gives the teachings which are very similar to that which is given in Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu, where he talks about Uttamadhikari, Kanishtadhikari, Madhyamadhikari. I will not go over it because it is the same as NOD. And the next time when it comes is where Chaitanya Mahaprabhu speaks to the Kulina Gramvasis. So the Satyaraj Khan and the Kulina Gramvasis, when they come to visit Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, three times they ask, who is a Vaishnava, who is a Vaishnava, who is a Vaishnava. So first time he says, from whose mouth the word Krishna comes, he is a Vaishnava. Second time he says, a person who is always chanting the holy name, he is a Vaishnava. And third time they come, seeing whom other people start chanting the holy names, he is a Vaishnava. Like that. These are the three definitions. Now, I have just summarized this into a table just to make a point that how the terminologies are same, but the different scriptures use it in a very contextual fashion. If you see, the definition of Uttama, Madhyama and Kanishta Adhikaris, I will not go over the whole thing, but you just look at the table, you will see that it is different actually. They are not... The terminologies are not universal. So if someone says, Prabhu, are you a Kanishtadhikari or a Madhyamadhikari or an Uttamadhikari? So now someone may say out of humility, Prabhuji, I am a Kanishtadhikari, whatever. Now the point is, the first question that needs to be asked is, according to which book, because the different books give different definitions. Like we see here, five different definitions of Kanishta Adhikari, Madhyama Adhikari, and Uttama Adhikari. And in Manasiksha commentary, Bhaktivinoda Thakur gives a sixth definition, which is significantly different from any of these definitions. He says, Uttama Adhikari means Vrajavasi. But according to any of these books, an Uttama Adhikari need not be a Vrajavasi. Even Prahlad Maharaj is an Uttamadhikari. But according to Bhaktivinoda Thakur's definition, Prahlad Maharaj is not a Uttamadhikari. He becomes a Madhyamadhikari. Why? Because he is not a Vrajavasi. Like that. Because he is giving the definition according to what is conducive to develop love towards Radha and Krishna in Vrindavan. Therefore, Uttamadhikari is only Vrajavasi. And Madhyamadhikari is all other Vaishnavas are Madhyamadhikaris. And Kanishtadhikari is actually Brahmanas, he says. So Brahmanas are not even qualified for pure devotion. service. They may be, need not be. But if you just say Brahmana, they need not be practicing pure devotees also. So that is a different context. So therefore, we have to, the only point that I am trying to make is that these terminologies, Kanishta, Madhyama and Uttama, they have very contextual meanings and they don't have universal meanings. That is the point. Okay, that's a short presentation that I wanted to give. It is just because someone had asked, or maybe I mentioned it in our discussion. So any follow-up question that you, or discussion that you would like to have on this theme that we discussed here about the various, the Kanishta Adhikari, Madhyama Adhikari and Uttama Adhikari described according to various books. Is there some clarification or some discussion that you would like to have before we move on to the next question that we, yes, Madhavi Gopi Mataji, the question. Yes, Madhavi. I have unmuted you.
Hare Krishna.
Yes, Prabhuji,
after going to, I think, sometime in the past also, we have discussed this point that when there are so many definitions, practically when we use it, how we, like, if someone refers somebody or own self as which adhikari, we don't go on asking. That means, just now you mentioned that you have to ask that by which book or by which definition. But practically, we don't go on asking this way.
We don't have to ask them because generally not many people reflect and think that there could be multiple definitions of this. So they may just be using according to one of their understandings. So I mean, we don't have to necessarily ask them. I mean, generally it's not a very big point of contention, or it's generally in a generic way they may use.
What I mean is there creates a lot of confusion, no, Prabhuji.
Correct. It does. It does create a lot of confusion. That is why we are discussing this, that there are multiple definitions. So we can educate them if they are willing to hear from us. If they are not aware and if they are in a very generic sense using it, then we don't have to take that very seriously, Or you can ask them, Prabhuji, why do you say that you are a Madhyama Adhikari? And they will say, oh, don't you know, Bhagavatam says, Ishvareta Dadineshu Balisheshu Dvisheshtucha Prema Maitri Kripa Opeksha Yakkaroti Samadhyama. So they will say, see, if they are little shastrically rooted, then they will say, based on this definition, then you understand, based on this definition, they are calling themselves as Madhyama Adhikari, like that.
Or like in a broader spectrum, if we have to understand, I will like to know this, that how generally this understanding we use.
Hey, that is why I'm telling, generally people are not aware that there are multiple ways in which this understanding, multiple ways in which these terminologies are used. It is wrong to think that there is one universal definition. Actually, there is not. That is why, see, if there was one universal definition, we need not have spent so much time discussing this. So that is why I am speaking. For example, I'll tell you, if you see the nectar of devotion, or Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu's Kanishta Adhikari, Madhyama Adhikari and Uttama Adhikari, all three of them will fit in. Will fit according to the definition of Madhyama Adhikari of Bhagavatam. So Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu's Kanishta Adhikari, Madhyama Adhikari and Uttama Adhikari, all three are Bhagavatam's Madhyama Adhikari, like that. So therefore, if someone is very confidently telling that I am such and such Adhikari or he is such and such Adhikari, then you can ask them, Prabhuji, why do you say so? So then they will explain, in Nectar of Instruction, Rupa Goswami says this is the definition, and I could see those symptoms in this devotee, that is why I say. So you can always ask. The point is, yes, the point that you are mentioning is right. Yes, it could lead to confusion. Because we expect that there should be a universal definition. But the most commonly used definition for Kanishta Madhyama and Uttama in the scriptures that I have seen is the Bhagavatam definition of Kanishta Madhyama and Uttama. So if when not clarified, generally they may be referring to the Bhagavatam definition of Kanishta Madhyama and Uttama, in which the Kanishta Adhikari is he does not even fall within the category of pure devotional service. The Madhyama Adhikari could be anywhere between Shraddha till Asakti, and the Uttama Adhikari is at the stage of Bhava or Prema, like that. So even the Madhyama Adhikari of Bhagavatam has a very wide range, actually. Anywhere between Shraddha and Asakti is, could be Madhyama Adhikari of Bhagavatam, like that. Is that okay, Mate?
Yes, probably. Yeah, I'll still try to contemplate on it more. Because basically we use, why we are having this knowledge, like it is given in, I think, NOD and Upadeshamrita also, that depending on what we understand of anyone, we decide our behavior with that person.
Correct.
So the essential requirement why we are trying to gain knowledge from somebody, that where he stands, is for deciding our response, right?
Correct.
So means then that is a we need to understand it more. Maybe I'll try to understand. I'll request you, Prabhuji, like the chart what you have given, apart from that, if you can share the actual understanding what the, each book has given in short.
Yeah, I can share. I can share, Madhuri. Some more material I can put together and I can share.
Yeah, thank you so much. Okay.
Hare Krishna. Now, Navadvip Chandra Prabhu, I am unmuting you, Prabhu.
Hare Krishna, Prabhu. So, Prabhuji, I just...
Navadvip Chandra Prabhu? Oh, I sorry. By mistake, I muted you, I think. Navadvip Chandra Prabhu, can you unmute yourself and speak now?
Hare Krishna.
Ah, yes, Prabhu.
Yeah, Prabhuji, I just wanted clarification on the context of the various books. Like you... NOD, I guess I know that it is Adhikar for performing pure devotional service. What is the other books? Manu Shiksha also you gave.
NOD, it is Vaidhi Sadhana Bhakti. Three levels of Vaidhi Sadhakas. That is what NOD says. NOD is not putting these Adhikaris. None of the Adhikaris described in NOD are either at the stage of Bhava or Prema. They are all Vaidhi Sadhakas only.
So it is Adhikar for performing pure devotional service, right?
Adhikar for performing
pure devotional service.
Correct. All are pure devotional service Adhikaris only. But
yeah, eligibility. Basically, it talks about the eligibility for performing pure devotional service, right?
Yeah. Basically, all three are qualified for practicing pure devotional service. And within pure devotional service also, they are qualified to practice only Vaidhi Sadhana Bhakti. Not beyond that.
Okay.
Yeah.
Well, I wanted to know about the other books also. What is the context for NOI, for
Bhagavatam? So in Bhagavatam, the three adhikaris are, the Kanishta Adhikari is a non-adhikari. And the Madhyam Adhikari is Adhikari for Sadhana Bhakti. And Uttam Adhikari is Adhikari for Sadhya Bhakti or Bhava and Prema Bhakti. So like that, Bhagavatam. Similarly, NOI also something very similar. In NOI, there is a range actually. NOI, also all three are qualified for pure devotional service. But the Kanishta Adhikari of NOI could be only till Anartha Navritti. He cannot be beyond that. And but the Madhyama Adhikari can be anywhere between Anartha Navritti to Asakti. And the Uttama Adhikari is Bhava and Prema. There is a different shade here. So, like that.
Yeah.
is that relevant to, or you wanted some further details?
No, you said that like last time when you had when you described about this, you said that even in CC, like it is coming up two times, but although it is coming up two times, the difference is that the context is different.
Correct.
So I wanted the context of that.
When Chaitanya Charitamrita in Madhya Leela, when he speaks to Sanatan Goswami in Sanatan Siksha, the context is the same as NOD, Vaidhi Sadhana Bhakti. He is talking about Vaidhi Sadhana Bhakti because it is the same definition that he gives as it is given in NOD. But when he is speaking to Kulinagram Vasis, then he is actually talking in the context is based on the attachment to the holy name. So the whole definition is based on how much, based on attachment to the holy name, you can define who is a Kanishtha Adhikari, Madhyam Adhikari, and Uttam Adhikari. Kanishtha Adhikari is one who has chanted the holy name with faith, he is Kanishtha Adhikari. Then one who continuously chants, he is Madhyam Adhikari. And one seeing whom others chant, he is Uttam Adhikari. So this is according to attachment to holy name, that is the context. But if you actually translate it to the stages of devotees, then each of these adhikaris would fit in a particular range of stages. The first one could be anywhere between Shraddha to Anartha Nivritti, he can fit. The Madhyama Adhikari can fit anywhere between Nishtha to Asakti, like that. And the third Uttama Adhikari would be Bhava Bhakti or Prema Bhakti, like that.
Okay, bro. Okay.
Is that okay?
Yes. Thank you.
Okay. So, actually now we will go on to the next question. Madhavi Gopi Mataji, have you actually thought about the question that you wanted to ask?
Yes, Prabhuji, we were discussing about what is the exact meaning of going back. We were discussing.
So many times Prabhupada says, many times Prabhupada says that the goal of life is to go back home, back to Godhead. Because naturally, we have a desire to go back to that place which is perfect. But even though that is not the highest goal, but Prabhupada uses that because naturally we want to give up this dukkhalayam and go to a place which is completely free of anxieties. Vigata kunta, Vaikunta. So we want to go to that place, or we want to go to that place where there is no anxiety, or we want to go to that place where we can participate in the pastimes of Krishna and assist Krishna in his pastimes. So if that is the mood, then that is we are aspiring for prema actually. So if going back home, back to Godhead, means to re-establish our connection with Krishna and serve Krishna in that connection, then in that case, that is actually highest. But if going back home, back to Godhead means to go back to the spiritual world so that we don't want to suffer here, that is not the highest aspiration. But many times Prabhupada uses that sentiment because we all have such a painful experience of staying in this material world that Prabhupada says, this is such a pathetic place. Do you want to stay here? The goal of life is to go to that place where none of this kind of suffering is there. Like that, Prabhupada actually tries to appeal to that particular sentiment that we have of not wanting to suffer in this material world. So in that context, many times Prabhupada says, you know, the goal of life is not to stay here. You have to go back home, back to Godhead. But having said that, that is not the highest aspiration of a devotee. Salokya sarshti samipya sarupya ekatvam apyuta diyamanam na grananti vina matsevanam jana. So it is mentioned in Bhagavatam that if a pure devotee is offered Salokyam Mukti, Sarshti, Sarupya, Samipya, or even Sayujya Mukti, any of these muktis, which are all spiritual, but the devotee rejects it if there is no opportunity to serve. So basically, he is concerned about the opportunity to serve and not about actually going back home, back to Godhead. So many times Prabhupada does appeal to a lower sentiment that we have, because that lower sentiment may be a very consuming, very powerful sentiment that we have, that yes, this material world is such a difficult place to live. Like, for example, when Prabhupada once in India, I think somewhere in Jharkhand or Bihar, he was in a coal mine. And in that coal mine, when he was preaching to the people who were working in the coal mines, he was describing about hell. But whatever description of hell was there, it very nicely fit in the definition of the coal mine also, because literally they have to stay inside, and every breath they take, they will be breathing in those, you know, coal particles, which were like affecting their lungs and all that. So sometimes, so the coal miners, when they go inside, sometimes they have to stay for, you know, more than a week. And their only connection with the outside world was through the newspapers which used to come. So there used to be a great eagerness for those newspapers. So Prabhupada, in defining hell, Prabhupada said, you know what is hell? In hell, you will have all the suffering that you have in this mind, and there will be no newspaper. Like that. Which means he was trying to appeal to their sentiments. And immediately the miners could understand that, oh, it's such a bad place. Otherwise, the rest of the description of hell seemed more or less similar to their experience inside that coal mine only. So like that, sometimes, you know, just to try to appeal to whatever they are most attached to, Prabhupada used to do that. So similarly, we have such a painful experience of staying in this material world. Sometimes Prabhupada does mention these kind of things to appeal to that particular sentiment. But this is not the highest goal, actually, to give up the suffering of this material world and go back. We want to go there because we want to assist Krishna in his pastimes and establish a relationship with him in one of the five rasas. Is that okay, Mataji?
Yeah. I think maybe for that only Prabhupada is said, na, that many times the pure devotees, they are not bothered whether they are here or they are somewhere in the spiritual world, because they are experiencing the same bliss here also.
Correct.
By
correct.
Serving the Lord.
Yeah. Swarga apavarga narakeshu api tulyartha darshana. For them, it does not really matter where they are. They are willing to go even to hell if there is an opportunity to serve Krishna and please Krishna like that.
Yeah. Thank you, Prabhu.
Okay. Hare Krishna. Thank you, Mother.
Hare Krishna.
Okay. So before we move on to the second verse, if there are any further discussions that needs to be done based on what we have discussed in the first verse, maybe a few minutes I'll wait to see if someone has any quick comments, questions. You can please raise your hands. Srinivas Prasad Prabhu, I'm unmuting you, Prabhu.
Hare Krishna, Dandavat Pranam, Prabhuji.
Dandavat Prabhu.
Prabhuji, could you go through that?
No, Prabhu, sorry. I'll try to do that because weekdays are generally very packed for me.
No issues, Prabhuji. As so per your convenience.
And also, Vyas Puja was there, so it was, we were.
Yes. No issues,
Prabhuji. I'll try to do it. It's
a very short five, seven minutes.
I'll go through it, bro. I'll go through it.
Yes.
Yeah.
Thank you so much, Prabhu.
Thank you, bro. Anadi Akshay Krishna Prabhu, I'm unmuting you, bro.
Hare Krishna Prabhuji, Dandavat Pranam.
Dandavat.
Prabhuji, this question is regarding like in the last session you discussed about the holy name, that how the holy name fulfills the abhilashas and it cleanses the anarthas. So in that context, I had one question. You gave the example that for a Jnanamishra Bhakta, his abhilasha could be mukti. So and his anarthas may be giving up all other anarthas like lust, anger, greed, etc. So I had one question that does the holy name, you said that eventually even we in the beginning of our bhakti we had so many material goals earning money or getting some big degrees, etc. They were our cherished desires and abhilashas. And but eventually all those we have started putting them into the anartha bin, and now our aspiration is just to develop love for Krishna. My question is that does chanting of the holy name even if say suppose a devotee is continuing to maintain his some other abhilashas apart from Krishna prema, so then does chanting of the holy name itself cleanse away the wrong abhilashas and eventually bring him to Krishna prema? Giving the context of say Dhruva Maharaj, he performed devotional service with actually his abhilasha was to get the kingdom, but then eventually he gave up that abhilasha also, right? Is it okay that the holy name will cleanse the in wrong abhilashas, or is it that the free will of the jiva is if the person wants to remain on that platform that is continued and or does it require if a person say a karma mishra bhakta or gyan mishra bhakta, if he has to elevate himself to shuddha bhakti, the holy name itself is not sufficient, but rather hearing and association of devotees, and then that changes his desires and eventually he can come to Shuddha Bhakti platform. So that was the question.
Good question. See, actually, free will of the living entity, actually the holy name responds to the free will of the living entity. Now the question is, what shapes the free will of the living entity? So generally the free will is shaped by experience. So, if that mixed devotee has had if he gets an experience of pure devotional service through the association of a pure devotee, only under such circumstances, his free will be shaped in such a way where only pure devotional service becomes his abhilasha. Otherwise, his free will be shaped based on his past experiences. Because he has not experienced the bliss of pure devotional service, his free will cannot, he cannot freely will it. He will not will. It will not be his free will. So then in that case, he will be aspiring only for that mixed devotional service. So considering the case of Dhruva Maharaj, very interesting you brought out this point. Here, Srila Jiva Goswami and Srila Vishwanathacharya Thakur give slightly different explanations to this case of Dhruva Maharaj. Srila Vishwanathacharya Thakur says that Dhruva Maharaj is a case of Kripa Siddha. So he clearly aspired for a material result and by the mercy of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, in a very rare case of Kripa Siddhi, he took away those material desires because the Lord was very pleased with the determination of a 5-year-old boy. So, out of mercy, he removed his material desires and he gave him pure spiritual desires. That is why when the Supreme Lord gave him all those other benedictions, Dhruva Maharaj says, Kacham vichinvan api divya ratnam swamin kritarthosmi varam nayache. He said, my dear Lord, yeah, even though your darshan is like the valuable diamonds and rubies, but despite all that, I was praying for broken pieces of glass, like that he said. But that, Srila Vishwanathacharya Thakur says, oh, that is Kripa Siddhi. He, otherwise, ideally, for his endeavor, he should have received only those results. This is one understanding. The second understanding that Jiva Goswami gives is that, this will get into a little complicated discussion, but nevertheless, I will just touch upon this point because, So Jiva Goswami says that, you know, there are two kinds of mixed devotional service. One in which one's goal is something less than pure devotional service. Okay. So the prayojan is swarga or siddhi or mukti, like that. That could be the aim, goal. That one could have a different goal. And the second case is one could have a mixed practice. So instead of practicing only purely bhakti limbs, one may also practice some, add some limbs of karma, jnana or yoga, like that. So that abhideya becomes mixed abhideya. So either the prayojan could be mixed or the abhideya could be mixed. He says that even though one may have material desires or desire for mukti, if one practices pure devotional service, matlab, when the practice is pure, he says, what is your goal? Mukti. How are you planning to achieve it? Shravanam, Kirtanam, Vishnu, Smaranam, Pada Sevanam, Archanam, Vandanam, Dasyam, Sakyam, Atmani Vedam. What else? Nothing else. Only this is sufficient. I will achieve mukti. If one says like that, then he says, by the potency of that pure practice, then one can achieve what he is aspiring for, and one can achieve something, an eternal result also. Even though what he is aspiring for is a temporary result, but he can achieve some a permanent result also in the form of achieving the spiritual world, like the Jiva Goswami says. So that could be Krishna Prema, but he does not clearly say that it is Krishna Prema. He says he can go to the spiritual world, which is eternal. But one could go to spiritual world, which is eternal, but still not have Krishna Prema. That is possible. Of course, this opens up a whole new discussion. That's why I didn't want to get into this discussion. This is, then we will never get into the second verse today. So maybe we will reserve this discussion for some other day, because this will open up a lot of sub questions. And then I will have to cover many sections from Bhaktirasam Sindhu to actually cover this this aspect. But for now, I will just say that in order for the abhilasha to change into pure devotional abhilasha, one needs the association of pure devotees. Only when one experiences that association, only then one's free will would be shaped in that way to aspire for pure devotional service, like that. Is that relevant, Prabhu?
Yes, Prabhu. Yes, thank you so much. Yes.
Okay, thank you. So, is there any further final comments before we move on? Yes, Kanchana Mataji, I am unmuting you.
Hare Krishna Prabhuji, Dandavats. This is regarding, just now you told that that Krishna Prema we should aspire for. And it's not only like Srila Prabhupada was telling about Goloka, right?
Mm-hmm.
So what I am asking is, now they say, no, in Gita also it's mentioned, Antya Kalecha Mameva Smaran Muktva Kalevaram. How that has to be taken then?
How that has to be taken? I am trying to understand your question, but I'm...
Yeah, Antya Kalecha Mameva. Like, correct. At the time of death, you should remember Lord. And then you never come back to this earth, and you are going to Goloka. That is how it is. So correct, there, correct. How that prema comes in between, or how we have to understand
it. Oh, so that way, unless you have that kind of Krishna prema, it is very difficult to remember Krishna at the time of death.
Somebody else may make us remember, right?
That is also possible. Actually, Ramanujacharya, after he wanted to take initiation from Yamunacharya, but Yamunacharya passed away, And Ramanujacharya was very depressed. So he was wondering, he wanted to accept Kanchipurna as his guru. So, but somehow Kanchipurna was not accepting him as his guru. But Kanchipurna was a very exalted personality. He could speak with Varadaraj. So he approached Varadaraj. So Ramanujacharya said, look, you don't want to accept me as your disciple. At least do one thing. I have a few questions. Will you ask Varadaraj and let me know? He says, yes, this much I can definitely do. You tell me your questions. I'll ask Varadaraj. When he answers, I'll give you the answers. So Ramanujacharya asks, if there is a devotee who has surrendered unto Krishna and at the time of death, somehow he is not able to remember Krishna. So you have told, antakale cha mameva smaran muktva kalevaram yaprayati samadbhavam yati nastyatra samshaya. You have told that a person who remembers me at the time of death, he will attain my planet and he will not have to come back again. So what if a person, he very, very sincere practitioner, but due to some very extreme circumstances, if he is not able to remember the Lord, so what will happen to him? So Ramanujacharya wanted to know. So he told Kanchipurna to ask to Varadaraj. He asked Varadaraj. Varadaraj replied. So the reply was, for a prapanna, for a person who has sincerely surrendered to the Lord, antima smriti varjanam. For him, there is no hard and fast rule that at the time of death, he has to remember Krishna. So that is not a compulsory rule. But generally, you will remember, because the time of death is such an excruciating situation, that whatever you are most attached to, that's what you would remember. Just like Ajamil remembered his son, Narayan. He was most attached to his son, Narayan. So he remembered him. So generally, if someone is at the stage of Krishna Prem, then generally his greatest attachment would be Krishna. So at the time of death, for him to remember Krishna would not be difficult. But if under very unnatural conditions, if he has to give up his body, even if he may not be able to remember Krishna, Krishna will remember him. So that's not a hard and fast rule for a sincere devotee who has achieved perfection like that. Is that okay, Madhuri?
Yeah, I understood. But then, now, see, we all aspire for that. But you said that if we are like, that is not falling in place, that we should not aspire, like we should aspire for Goloka, but we should have Krishna Prema, not because we are frustrated here or not because everything is so much suffering is there. How that I'm not understanding.
Hey, we should aspire for Goloka means, the point is that we should not be aspiring for Goloka because it is very frustrating here. That could be the initial impetus. But subsequently, when we slowly try to establish a relationship with Krishna, the relationship with Krishna is such a sweet, fulfilling relationship that we don't even notice the various kind of suffering that is around us. So eventually the inspiration does not become a desire to escape the suffering of this material world. Actually, the inspiration becomes the deep desire to establish a relationship with Krishna. So that is the, for that purpose, we should eventually, at least theoretically now, we should understand that, the relationship with Krishna is very sweet. So I should be trying to practice bhakti with that desire like that.
Yes, Prabhuji, this is nice. Thank you very much.
Okay, thank you. Okay, so I don't think there is any further discussions from the first verse. So we will now move on to the second verse. I will just open the file. Just hold on for a second. So, okay. So we will start the second verse. So in the first verse, we have already seen he, in general, he says develop in order to develop attraction to Krishna. First, develop attraction to these eight things connected to Krishna and consciously try to give up the various manifestations of material nature or pride. Sada dambam hitva. In the second verse, we will chant the verse. Okay. Na dharmam na dharmam shruti gana niruktam kila kuru vraje radha krishna prachura paricharyami hatanu shachi sunum mandishvapati sutatve guruvaram Mukunda Prishtatve Smara Paramajasram Nanumana. So he says, indeed, Nanu, Na Kila Kuru, do not perform Shruti Gana Niruktam Dharmam. So this is what he is instructing his mind, Raghunath Das Goswami. He says, O mind, Shruti Gana Niruktam Dharmam Na Kila Kuru. Certainly do not pious acts prescribed in the Vedas and supporting literature. This is like a very strange instruction that he is giving. And then he says, Na adharmam kuru. Do not perform Now we will just see the translation of this instruction. He says, Na dharmam kuru, na adharmam kuru. Don't perform any dharma, don't perform any adharma also. So when he says, Shruti gana niruktam dharma, he says that any pious acts which the karma yogic literatures indicate, the dharma shastras, based on the dharma shastras, the varnashram dharma. So the varnashram duties. So basically, Raghunath Das Goswami is indicating that don't be attached to the varnashram duties, O mind. We will try to understand the meaning of this. Okay. So now you have told me what I should not be doing. You have told me na dharmam kuru, na adharmam kuru. Don't do the pious activities, don't do the forbidden activities. Then tell me what I should do. He says, Iha Vraje, first stay in Vrindavan and do what? Prachura Radha Krishna Prachura Paricharyam Tanu. Tanu means to perform Prachura Paricharya. Paricharya is service, Prachura Paricharya is intense service. Stay in Vrindavan and perform intense service to Shri Shri Radha and Krishna. Okay. Now, the question is, if the goal of life is to stay in Vrindavan and worship Radha and Krishna, then what is the role of worshipping Chaitanya Mahaprabhu? Should I worship Chaitanya Mahaprabhu? Or why should I worship Chaitanya Mahaprabhu? He says, Shachi Sunum Nandishwara Pati Sutatve. Understand that Shachi Sunu, the son of Shachi Mata, that is Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, is Nandishwara Pati Suta. Nandishwara is Nandamaraj. Nandishwara Pati. Nandishwara is the place where Nandamaraj is, Nandagram. Nandishwara Pati is the Lord of Nandishwar. Suta is the son of the Lord of Nandishwar, which is Krishna. Understand that the son of Shachi, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, is non-different from the son of Nanda Maharaj Krishna. So worshipping Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, not only that, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is not just the son of Nanda Maharaj, but in the mood of Radharani. Shri Krishna Chaitanya Radha Krishna Nahi Anya. So this is Radha and Krishna in one form, that is Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So therefore, worshipping Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is in line with worshipping Radha and Krishna and Vrindavan. Rather, it is very, very conducive. Because without the mercy of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, we cannot understand the essential truths of Radha and Krishna and Vrindavan. Yadi gaurna hoito tabeki hoito kemona dharitam de radhar mahima prema rasa sima kemone dharitam de. So he says that if without the mercy of Chaitanya, if Chaitanya Mahaprabhu had not come, then what would have happened? No one on this earth would have had the opportunity to understand the glories of Srimati Radharani like that. Okay. So I understood that because Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is non-different from Radha and Krishna, therefore worship of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is compatible with worshipping Radha and Krishna and Vrindavan. Now tell me, in this whole thing of whole goal that you have established, that to establish, to develop attraction to Radha and Krishna and Vrindavan, why should I worship Guru? What is the role of Guru? He says, Guruvaram Mukunda Preshtatve Smaramana. Param Mukunda Preshtatve Smaramana. He says, my dear mind, understand and think that Guruvaram, that Sri Guru is Param Mukunda Preshtatve, is the dearmost servant of Lord Mukunda. So, how to serve Mukunda? Mukunda will not teach us. Another servant, another dearmost servant who has been rendering perfect service to Mukunda, he will teach us how to perfectly serve Mukunda. So only one perfect servant can teach another servant how to perfectly serve the master. So therefore, if we want to serve Radha and Krishna, we have to learn it from the perfect servant of Radha and Krishna, that is Guru. So in this way, worship of Guru, worship of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu are absolutely essential to actually establish love for Radha and Krishna in Vrindavan. So in this way, he explains this point of what should we be doing and what we should not be doing. Na dharmam, na dharmam, shrutigana niruktam kilakuru. Don't do the varnashram duties. And don't do the forbidden duties. Then what I should do? Worship Radha and Krishna and Vrindavan. But don't worship Radha and Krishna, just worship Radha and Krishna and Vrindavan. Worship Chaitanya Mahaprabhu also. Because only by his mercy we can worship Radha and Krishna. And not just that, worship Guru also, because only the Guru will teach us how to perfectly worship Radha and Krishna and Vrindavan. That is the essence of this second verse. So now, at this point, before even we go to Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur's commentary on this, I will just briefly comment upon, of course it's not a brief commenting, we are going to elaborately discuss one very important point. Let me see what is the time, if you will have time to cover it. So it is 8:15. So 45 minutes I have. I'm sure we will have some Q&A also. So what I'll do is I will postpone that particular discussion to next week. Next week we will start with that. But for now, if I start that, I will not be able to complete. And after 7 days, I will essentially have to recap the whole thing and do it again. So better I will do the whole thing next week only. But for now, we will start reading Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur's explanation of this verse. But before that, all of us will together chant this verse once. And then we will move on to the explanation by Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur in his Bhajan Darpan commentary. So we'll chant. Na dharmam, na dharmam,
Shruti gana niruktam kilakuru vraje radha krishna prachura paricharyamihatanu shachi sunum nandishwara pati sutatve guruvaram mukunda prishtatve smara paramajasram nanumana. Okay, so now we will start discussing the explanation by Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur. So he says, this verse deals with three doubts. The first doubt concerns how an individual jiva who gives up false pride and takes shelter of Krishna Bhakti will earn a living. Now you say that give up false pride, which means give up material upadis. Naham vipro na chanarapati napi vaishyo na shudro naham varni na chagrahapati na vanasto yatirva kintu prodhyan nikila paramananda purnamrutabdir gopi bartur padakamalayor dasadasanudas. Okay, I give up my all my varna designations, all my ashrama designations, I give up all that. So I am not Brahmana, Kshatriya, Vaishya, or Shudra. I am not a Brahmachari, Grihastha, Vanaprastha, or Sannyasi. I am just a servant of the servant of the servant of Krishna. Fine. So now, if that is only my designation, then how am I going to earn a living? How will I earn? What work will I do? It might appear that no one who gives up dharma and adharma as prescribed in this verse could maintain a livelihood. How are they going to maintain a livelihood? The second doubt concerns accepting the worship of Sri Radha Krishna, the divine couple, as the ultimate and only object. Such a person needs to understand how to know and regard Sri Krishna Chaitanya Mahaprabhu without disturbing one-pointed worship. Because it has been established that the goal of life is one-pointed worship of Radha and Krishna. So one-pointed worship means there must not be distraction. So now the question is, you are telling that dedicate your life to worship Radha and Krishna with one-pointed attention. So now, if I have to worship Chaitanya Mahaprabhu also and Guru also, then won't that one-pointed attention be disturbed? So that is the question. And now the third doubt concerns needing to know the method in which one should meditate on Sri Guru. Answers to all of these are provided below with proper analysis. So now Bhaktivinoda Thakur is going to explain. First, he will describe na dharmam na dharmam shruti gana niruktam kila kuru. Do not perform the pious or sinful activities mentioned in the shrutis. What does this mean? So, Bhaktivinoda Thakur says, the shruti's essence is the esoteric conclusion that one should serve the divine couple Sri Sri Radha Krishna uninterruptedly. The ultimate conclusion of the Shastras is unceasingly, continuously worship Radha and Krishna. That is the essential conclusion of the scriptures. But not everyone may have reached that conclusion because they are somewhere in between. So they may be practicing some karma, jnana, tapa, yoga, etc. But one who has understood the conclusion would definitely understand that I should be worshipping only Radha and Krishna without any interruption. Externally, whatever a human being does falls in one of these two categories, dharma and adharma. If we reject both, life cannot be sustained even for a moment. Like either you follow dharma, dharmically earn your livelihood, or you adharmically earn your livelihood. Now if you say give up dharma and give up adharma, then how am I to live? How am I going to earn my livelihood?
that question arises. So if we reject both, life cannot be sustained even for a moment. Therefore, Srila Raghunath Das Goswami did not actually prohibit all activities in relation to engaging the senses in the world. So he did not prohibit all activities in relation to engaging the senses in the world. Nor did he prohibit all prescribed duties in relation to awakening a soul to the ultimate goal of life. So he did not say, he has not prohibited all those activities which will help us awaken our relationship with Krishna. In this world, there are two categories of living beings, the spiritually ignorant and the spiritually intelligent. For the spiritually ignorant living beings, the Vedas as Shruti and Smriti list many rules and prohibitions to promote piety and discourage sin. Very important point. So spiritually ignorant means those who do not have faith in pure devotional service, all are spiritually ignorant to various degrees. But those who have faith in pure devotional service, they are said to be intelligent. So for them, for the spiritually ignorant living beings, the Vedas list many rules and prohibitions to promote piety and discourage sin. Fear of punishment motivates spiritually ignorant jivas to follow such rules. So the Varnashram rules are followed by spiritually ignorant jivas, which means they have not realized that the ultimate goal of life is to establish a relationship with Krishna. So such people, they follow the Varnashram rules either due to fear of punishment or due to greed for reward. So for these two purposes, they follow the Varnashram duties. Whenever they do anything independently of such scriptural guidelines, their actions have an inauspicious result. It is considered as adharma and they get an inauspicious result, a papa karma they get. Those who have attained self-realization are spiritually intelligent, conscious of their spiritual identity as servant of God. They do not need and should not do actions motivated by fear. So they should not be engaging in Varnashram activities being motivated by fear. Srila Raghunath Das Goswami has instructed such persons who have realized their spiritual identity to pursue the worship of the divine couple without much regard to dharma or adharma. So one should not be considering dharma or adharma. We will discuss this point little elaborately. Even while performing required duties are needed in their life, spiritual practitioners or sadhakas should infuse those activities with service to the divine couple, Shishi, Radha, Krishna. Those persons who live according to Varnashram Dharma should do those actions in a mood related to pure devotional service. So what does this mean? Okay, two more slides we will see and then we'll take some questions. I am sure those questions will lead us to go through that presentation. At least I think we can't skip it. We will have to essentially go through that presentation. I think I'll stop here and I will go through that presentation. So I am sure you must be having some questions, but I request you to hold on those questions. At least we will cover some portions of that presentation. And then for sure we can take some questions. So if you have some questions, you please note it down. We will definitely take it. So for now, I will just search for that document and then I will just open it. Okay. So now I'm moving to, we are discussing from the Vaidhi Sadhana Bhakti section of Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu. Okay. So for those of you who attended the Rediscovering Vaidhi Sadhana Bhakti course, I think many of you, you have joined based on that course only. So for many of you, it might be a recap. So we'll be recapping it. but it's an essential recap. It's good recap to have. So in Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu, in the section about Vaidhi Sadhana Bhakti, so we all are Vaidhi Sadhakas. I'm sure you at least agree upon that, or most of us are. Maybe some of you are Raganuga, I do not know you personally. Maybe some of you are even more advanced than that. But in general, statistically speaking, most of us are probably Vaidhi Sadhakas only. At least I am a Vaidhi Sadhaka. So in the Vaidhi Sadhana Bhakti section of Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu, Srila Rupa Goswami writes, what are the duties expected of a Vaidhi Sadhaka? So we all are Vaidhi Sadhakas. So what are our duties? So Rupa Goswami very beautifully summarizes our duties in two verses. Okay, because Srila Jiva Goswami writes, it has been established that bhakti should be without any other desires, anya bilashita shunyam. It has also been shown that all humans, regardless of social position, are qualified for this type of bhakti. Like kirata hunandra pulinda pulkasha abira shumba yavanaha kasade, all kinds of people are qualified for practicing this bhakti. But isn't there a problem with this? What is the problem? If all people who are qualified for bhakti start neglecting varnashram duties, then isn't it sinful? If you say, only do bhakti, that is sufficient. Krishna bhakti kaile sarva karma krita hoy. If you should have faith that only by practice of Krishna bhakti, everything is accomplished. So if in the name of performing bhakti, I neglect to perform the essential varnashram duties, isn't that sinful? That question arises. If they do not perform their prescribed duties and simply perform bhakti, all people will be engaged in sinful activity. Isn't it? Everyone will be engaged in sinful activity. So, how do we understand? That being the case, how can they become pure if they are sinful? Should they perform some kind of atonements? So, if everyone neglects their varnashram duty, then it is sinful, because the Shastras do say, Krishna also says, karmanyeva adhikaraste ma phaleshu kadachana ma karma phala heturbur mate sangostva karmani. O Arjuna, perform your varnashram prescribed duties, but don't aspire for the results. And don't be attached to not performing your varnashram duties also, he says. Because if you don't perform varnashram duties, it is sinful. This is Krishna telling Arjuna. So now you are telling, do jnana karma the anavrata bhakti. Bhakti which is not covered by jnana karma, etc. So now, if it is not covered, means if I neglect my varnashram duties, will I not become a sinful person? This question arises. Now, Rupa Goswami answers this question. Please listen carefully. I know you all must have had a long day. You must have woken up early, chanted your rounds, visited your office, and you must all be quite tired. Heavy duty philosophy just before going to bed, may not be very easy, but still we don't have a choice as of now, at least. So we will try to focus whatever little we can. If not, you can, if focusing is becoming a little difficult, don't worry. Anyway, this will be uploaded in YouTube at a time when you feel very fresh. You can hear at that time also. But let that be the second hearing. First hearing you can always hear, because this will give you an opportunity to ask some questions and participate in some discussions while we are doing it now. So what is Rupa Goswami's answer for this? Rupa Goswami says, ananushtanato dosho bhakti anganam prajayate na karmanam akaranad esha bhakti adhikarinam nishiddha acharato daivat prayaschittam tu na uchitam iti vaishnava shastranam rahasyam tadvidam matam. So Srila Rupa Goswami says, esha bhakti adhikarinam, the person who is qualified for bhakti, of course, the qualification for bhakti is shraddha, adav shraddha. So whoever has shraddha in bhakti, for that person, doshah prajayate, such a person is at fault. What is a fault? Bhakti anganam akaranad. If he fails to perform all the important angas of bhakti, all the important angas of bhakti means first 20 limbs and the last 5 most potent limbs. So these 25 limbs are absolutely essential limbs. So if one neglects to perform these 25 limbs of bhakti, then he is at fault. Okay. Na karmana makaranat. But he is not at fault for failing to perform the duties of varna and ashrama. Okay. So such a person is not at fault for failing to perform the duties of varna and ashrama. Daivat, if by chance nishiddha acharato, what if by chance he commits a sinful activity then? Prayaschittam tu na uchitam. There is no atonement prescribed for him. No atonement means he need not, there are various kinds of, you go to an astrologer, he says, oh, he will say, oh, your Rahu, Ketu and all of that is mixed up, and because of some sinful activity that you have committed, you are suffering this, you should do this, this activity, that activity, Kala Sarpa Dosha or Narayana Nagabali and things like that, they may suggest. These are called as prayaschitta. For every sinful activity in the Karma Yoga literatures or the Karmakandiya literatures, there is an appropriate prayaschitta, an atonement activity which will offset the sin so that you don't have to suffer. But Rupa Goswami says, no, for a devotee, he should not be concerned about doing prayaschitta, atonement. Then how will he escape the suffering of that sinful activity? Bhakti itself acts as the atonement. Whatever bhakti he does, that will take care. Iti Vaishnava Shastranam Rahasyam Tadvidam Matam. This is the opinion of those who know the secret of Vaishnava scriptures. So, like that. So, this is the opinion of those who know the secret of Vaishnava scriptures. So he should, for a person qualified for bhakti, which means one who has entered the stage, Adav Shraddha, from that stage onwards, if he fails to perform the essential limbs of bhakti, he is at fault. But he is not at fault for failing to perform the essential duties of Varna and Ashrama. Okay. If he by chance happens to commit some sin, there is no atonement prescribed for him. This is the opinion of those who know the secret of Vaishnava scriptures. Okay, Jiva Goswami explains this little more further. It is a fault if those qualified for bhakti fail to perform the required angas of bhakti, such as observance of Ekadashi or Janmashtami. Ekadashi Vrata or Janmashtami Vrata. These essential limbs, as I mentioned, first 20 and the last 5, they are at fault. It is not a fault if they do not perform Varnashram activities. If they commit forbidden acts because of influence of previous Vaishnava Aparad, or because of committing, because of past sinful impressions, if impelled by those sinful impressions, if they perform some sinful activity, then atonement, karmakandi atonement or prayaschitta is not required, since these pure devotees do not have a natural tendency for sinful actions. Bhakti alone acts as atonement. This is the conclusion of the Vaishnava scriptures. So then further clarification. There is no fault if a person does not perform all the 64 angas of bhakti. So at some point, we may not be able to perform all the 64 angas. So the essential angas are first 20 and last 5. The essential angas are the first 20 and the last 5. That is chanting, hearing Bhagavatam, association with devotees, living in a holy place, and deity worship. So to summarize what we have seen, a person who is qualified for sadhana bhakti, he is at fault for failing to perform the essential angas of bhakti. He is not at fault for failing to perform the duties of varna and ashrama. And if he commits a forbidden activity, he need not perform the karmakandiya prayaschitta. For such a person, bhakti alone acts as his atonement. So these are the four essential summary statements of the point that Srila Rupa Goswami tries to make in these two verses. Okay, at this point, I will pause for a few seconds to see if there are any quick questions. But I may choose to answer them immediately, or I may say that please wait, your question will be answered in this discussion that we continue further. So I will wait for a few seconds to see at this point if there are any quick questions, comments we can take, and before we continue further. Sureshwar Prabhu, I'm unmuting you. Sureshwar Prabhu.
To hear, yeah. Hare Krishna Prabhuji, Dandavat Pranam.
Dandavat Prabhu.
Prabhuji, it is mentioned in this thing, we were going through, mm-hmm. that he is not at fault when the Varna and Ashram is not, he is not performing Varna and Ashram.
Varnashram duties.
Varnashram duties. That little correct. Bit explanation I need.
Yeah, yeah. I will, the rest of the presentation is explanation of that. So if you can just wait, we will be discussing about this in great detail now.
Okay.
Hare Krishna kids. Okay. I am unmuting you. Hare Krishna. You can please speak Hare Krishna kids. Hare Krishna, we are not able to hear you. Hari Bol. Okay. Anyone else? Okay. So I don't see any further hands. We will... Okay. Once more we will try. Hare Krishna kids. Okay. No voice. There is some issues. While they figure that out, we will move on. And start seeing some more part of this presentation. So, okay. Now, the question is, what does it mean to not perform Varnashram duties? This was the question of Sureshwar Prabhu. So, what does it mean to not perform Varnashram duties? Because Prabhupada said 50% of my job is not done. It is to establish Varanashram. But Rupa Goswami is telling, are no need to perform Varanashram duties. Now, is Prabhupada contradicting Rupa Goswami? So, we need to understand this very clearly. Otherwise, we will get into confusion. What does it mean to not perform Varanashram duties? Is a devotee irresponsible? Or is he ungrateful? Did Arjuna really follow the instruction of Sarvadharman Parityajya? Because Krishna told Arjuna, Sarvadharman Parityajya Mamekam Sharanam Raja. Aham Tvam Sarvapapebhyo Mokshayishyami Mashuchaha. He said, oh Arjuna, give up all dharma, including Varanashram dharma, and just surrender unto me. Aham tvam sarva papebhyo mokshayishyami. I will take care of all your sinful reactions. Mashuchaha, don't worry. So after hearing, this was the last instruction that Krishna gave to Arjuna in Bhagavad Gita. After hearing Bhagavad Gita, Arjuna said, Nashto moha smritir ladva tvat prasadad mayachyuta. Stitosmi Gatasandehaha Karishye Vachanam Tava. All my doubts are cleared, Arjuna. Krishna, I have perfectly understood. Now you please tell me what I should do. He has already told what he should do. Sarvadharman Parityajya Mamekam Sharanam Vraja. Okay. So now, at this point of time, after hearing Bhagavad Gita, if you see, Arjuna fought on the battlefield, which means he did not give up his Varna Dharma. He did not give up his Varna Dharma. He was a Kshatriya. He fought on the battlefield. Even though Krishna said, Sarvadharman Parityaj, give up all Dharma including Varnashram Dharma, but Arjuna did not give up his Varna Dharma. And did he give up his Ashrama Dharma? He did perform his kingly duties by taking care of the citizens. That was all his Varna Dharma. And his Ashrama Dharma also, as a Grihastha, he took care of his family nicely. Therefore, apparently, Arjuna did not give up his Varna Dharma or Ashrama Dharma. So, did Arjuna really follow the instruction of Krishna of Sarvadharman Parityaja? Give up all Dharma, including Varnashram Dharma. Did he follow that instruction or not? Now, Prabhupada explains very beautifully. Many times in his writings and in his classes, Prabhupada says, so at the beginning of the Kurukshetra battle, Arjuna did not want to fight. But after hearing the Bhagavad Gita from Krishna, Arjuna fought. Why? Prabhupada explains, Arjuna fought because Krishna wanted him to fight. Nowhere in Prabhupada's writing, if you can recollect reading or hearing Prabhupada say, after hearing Bhagavad Gita, Arjuna fought because he was a Kshatriya. Does he say it any time? No. So he says, Arjuna fought because Krishna wanted him to fight. So he was performing fighting as an act of bhakti and not as an act of Varnashrama. So, it is not the activity which defines whether something is a Varnashrama activity or an activity of devotion. It is the intent and for what purpose we perform that activity. Okay. So is it that Arjuna did not follow Sarvadharman Parityajya, or was it a clarion call for a change of paradigm? So what is the change of paradigm? Let's try to see. So this is where Raghunath Das Goswami says, Nadharmam Nadharmam Shrutigana Niruktam Kilakuru Vraje Radha Krishna Prachura Paricharyam Ihatanu. So he says, Na Dharmam Kuru. Don't perform Dharma. Then he says, Na Adharmam Kuru. Don't perform Adharma. Actually, this is a very strange instruction in one sense, if you don't understand it correctly. So, for a person who is qualified for, for Varnashram, if he neglects to perform his Varnashram duties, that itself is Adharma. So, if a Brahmana fails to perform his Brahminical duties, he need not perform separate Adharma. Just failing to perform his Brahminical duties itself is Adharma. So here, Raghunath Das Goswami says, Na Dharmam Kuru, don't perform Dharma, which means that itself is Adharma. And then he says, Na Adharmam Kuru, don't do Adharma also. How is it possible? Because the moment you don't perform your Dharma, automatically it becomes Adharma also. So he says, Na Dharmam Kuru, Na Adharmam Kuru. Don't do Dharma, don't do Adharma, both. How is it parallelly possible? He says, Vraje Radha Krishna Prachura Paricharyam Ihatanu, which means basically, don't perform activities in the mood of this is Dharma, this is Adharma, but perform activities in the mood of, oh, this is pleasing to Krishna,
and this is displeasing to Krishna. This is pleasing to Guru, this is displeasing to Guru. So basically that is what he is indicating. The mood should not be, are, I am a Brahmana and this is not a Brahminical activity. This is adharma for me, so I will not do it. Oh, this is a Brahminical duty, I have to do it. So without the, that is one consideration. But what Krishna essentially is indicating is, give up that consideration, not necessarily the duty. Give up that consideration and start performing activities in the mood of anukulyasya sankalpo pratikulyasya varjanam. Whatever is favorable for Krishna consciousness, I will do. Whatever is unfavorable for Krishna consciousness, I will reject. So basically, if you see this chart, there are three kinds of people. One is a materialist, okay, karmi. Second is a karma yogi. Third is a bhakti yogi. Okay. If you see all three of them, you know, the nature of mind is to accept and reject. Sankalpa vikalpa. Sankalpa varjanam. So all three of them, in accepting and rejecting activities or things, they have a particular criteria. So a materialistic person will accept whatever he likes and he will reject whatever he does not like. Whatever he likes, raga, he will accept. Raga sankalpo dvesha varjanam. So whatever he likes, he will accept. Whatever he dislikes, he will reject. So raga sankalpo dvesha varjanam. That is the paradigm, that is the platform of a karmi. And what is the pramana? What is the proof? His own experience. Based on his past experience, whatever he liked, he would accept it. Based on his past experience, whatever he did not like, he would reject it. Whereas the karma yogi, you see, when he becomes qualified for karma, karma yogi, karma yoga, he will see, is it dharma? According to my varna and ashrama, is it prescribed in the shastras as my dharma? I will do it. So as per dharma shastra, as per my varnashram shastras, is it prohibited according to my varna and ashrama? He will reject. So dharmasya sankalpo adharmasya varjanam. This is the platform of performance of a karma yogi or a dharmic person, you can say. So, and what is the pramana, what is the proof? The dharma shastras are the proof. Manu smriti, yajna valkya smriti, like that there are many smriti shastras are the dharma shastras, as they say, which prescribe based on varna and ashrama. What are the duties of a brahmana, what are the duties of a kshatriya, what are the duties of a vaishya, shudra, what are the duties of a brahmachari, grihastha, vanaprastha, sannyasi, like that. And what are the various kinds of yajnas they have to do and all those things that are described in the dharma shastras. Now, a bhakti yogi, he also accepts certain things and rejects certain things. What is the basis? He says, bhakti anukulyasya sankalpo, bhakti pratikulyasya varjanam. Whatever is favorable for bhakti, he will accept. And whatever is unfavorable for bhakti, he will reject. What is the pramana? The bhakti shastras are the pramana. Bhagavatam, Chaitanya Charitamrita, Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu. Based on these books, he will say, the acharyas recommend this has to be very favorable. In Bhakti Rasam Sindhu Rupa Goswami says 64 limbs of devotional service. This is anukul. So anukulyasya sankalpo. And Rupa Goswami says, these things are very unfavorable. I will reject them. Like that. So based on the bhakti shastras, he will define, he will understand what is favorable for his bhakti and what is unfavorable for his bhakti. And whatever is favorable, he will accept. Whatever is unfavorable, he will reject. So this is a bhakti yogi. So now, if you see,
you know, in your school, you would have studied set theory, you know, Venn diagrams and set theory. So you see here, there are two circles. One is the Varnashram circle. Another is the Bhakti circle. So we are comparing Varnashram and Bhakti. So in Varnashram, one acts on the platform of Dharmasya Sankalpo Adharmasya Varjanam. Whatever is Dharma, according to the Varnashram Shastras, he will accept. Whatever is Adharma, according to the Varnashram Shastras or Dharma Shastras, he will reject. Whereas the practitioner of Bhakti, Bhakti Anukulyasa Sankalpo, Bhakti Pratikulyasa Varjanam. According to the Bhakti Shastras, whatever is favorable, he will accept. Whatever is unfavorable, he will reject. Now, if you see these two circles, they overlap. Some of the activities of Varnashram and Bhakti may overlap. Okay. So, A intersection B, that which you see here. So, they may overlap actually. But actually, if you see the three circles, you know, also there may be some activities that may overlap. The materialistic person is performing those activities which he likes and rejects those which he does not like. The dharmic person accepts whatever is dharmic and he rejects whatever is adharmic. And the devotee accepts whatever is favorable for his bhakti and rejects whatever is unfavorable. So these three people, so the activity does not define what is the parameter based on which he accepts and rejects. That's what defines. Now, for example, let's take the a Kshatriya fighting on the battlefield. Okay. Kalayavan came to fight with Krishna. Now, Kalayavan was not a Kshatriya. So, he was a Yavana. So, a Yavana's dharma is not necessarily to fight on the battlefield. Yavanas are beyond dharma. They are actually Antyajas. So, he is more or less like a materialistic person only. Even though he brought his own army, Yavana army, and fought on the battlefield. But he is his fighting is because he is attached to getting some riches or whatever it may be. So raga sankalpo dvesha varjanam. He fought on the platform of raga and dvesha. Okay, or maybe he had dvesha for Krishna. For that purpose, he fought. Now on the battlefield of Kurukshetra, if you see, there were also many, many dharmic kings like Bhurishravas and you know, many other kings like that. They fought because it was Kshatriya Dharma. They fought. Dharmasya Sankalpo, Adharmasya Varjanam. And on the same battlefield were the Pandavas. Okay. They were fighting, but they fought not because it was their Kshatriya Dharma, but they fought because Krishna wanted them to fight. Now you see, the activity is the same. Fighting on the battlefield. Kalayavan fought, Bhurishravas fought, and the Pandavas fought. But Kalayavan fought on the platform of Ragadvesha. Bhurishravas fought on the platform of Dharma Adharma, and the Pandavas fought on the platform of Anukulyasya Sankalpo Pratikulyasya Varjanam. So the activity in itself does not define whether it is bhakti or a material activity or a dharmic activity. It is based on what consideration one performs that activity that defines whether it is a material activity or a dharmic activity or a devotional activity. So even though in the initial Venn diagram, I showed Varnashram and Bhakti overlapping, but in reality, if you see, there is a very significant overlap. There is a very significant overlap in the activities which are acceptable within the realm of Varnashram and Bhakti. There are very few activities of Varnashram which may not necessarily be acceptable as Bhakti activities. So,
It is just the paradigm. One may choose to perform on the platform of Anukulyasya Sankalpo Pratikulyasya Varjanam, it becomes bhakti. And the same activity is performed with the consideration of, this is my dharma, I will perform, this is adharma, I will not perform, then it becomes Varnashram. So when Rupa Goswami says, perform bhakti, reject Varnashram, he is not necessarily indicating the activities of Varnashram, he is indicating the paradigm. Reject the paradigm of dharma adharma and accept the paradigm of Anukulyasya Sankalpo Pratikulyasya Varjanam. That is what he is indicating. Okay. So at this point, I think we are probably running short of time. We have 5 minutes. So I will just take those 5 minutes for some discussions, questions. And we have a long presentation. We will continue this presentation next Tuesday. But we will just try to see if there are any quick comments, questions before we wind up for the day. If you have, you can please raise your hands. Anyone? I saw, yes, Madhavi Gopi Mataji, I'm unmuting you.
Hare Krishna.
Yes, Mataji.
Prabhuji, I understood, you explained it very nicely, that Varnashram and the bhakti, all that has to be differentiated on the basis of intention and not the action.
Mm-hmm.
But like in Bhagavad Gita, Krishna says that I have, Chaturvarnam Maya Srishtam, that I have designed the Varnashram system.
Correct.
Then
correct.
It is for whom exactly Lord has designed that.
Okay. I will choose right now not to answer this question. You please hold this question, because that is the very next topic that we are going to discuss.
Okay.
So next Tuesday, I will definitely discuss this point. We have just scratched the surface of this presentation. This has another 100 slides to cover. So
okay.
we will cover the whole thing, because this is a very essential understanding. We all need to understand this, because generally this is not a topic which is properly understood. So therefore people have very diversified understanding, a whole spectrum of understandings people have. So we will try to elaborate little more on this next Tuesday. So you please hold on your question. We will do this. We'll take up this question next week.
Okay, Ben. Thank you.
Hare Krishna, kids. I am unmuting you.
Hare Krishna, Prabhuji. Dhanavad Pranam. Can you hear me?
Yes, Prabhu. We can hear you.
Perfect. Okay. So, Prabhu, many a times, we get to hear that it is okay to use some, not atonements, but some, not even prayaschitta. Let's say if you have a vastu dosha at home,
mm-hmm.
they'll ask us to, some devotees whom I came across, they'll start suggesting that why not you use some Sri Yantra or use some other things, which can nullify the effect of whatever dosha you have at home. Okay. So as you are saying, the intention matters in terms of defines the activity, if it is a bhakti or not. So would you suggest or would you recommend that this kind of activities, that this kind of recommendations, whatever we hear from devotees only, should we do it or should we not even account all those things?
Okay, so now this is again a little elaborate discussion. But one thing I will say, the Vastu Shastra is actually a bona fide Shastra. For that matter, even Jyotish Shastra is bona fide Shastra. So Vastu Shastra, it's also partially a Shastra of, proper design, proper architectural design also, from which direction wind flows, which direction sun rises. So certain things which may be very conducive for health, because if you get ample sunlight, then it is very conducive for health and things like that. So if you have your bedroom here, then what would be the physical or
you know, effect of having the bathroom on the other side or the kitchen on this side, like that. It has certain architectural considerations also. So therefore, if you consider your home as the home of Gaur Nithai or the home of Jagannath Baldev Subhadra or the home of Radha and Krishna, then naturally we might want to give the perfectly constructed house, because it is their house, so it has to be perfect from all points of view. So one can take those considerations, but one should not, but a devotee should not attribute that if he is undergoing some physical ailments and all that, one should not necessarily attribute it to the improper construction of house, not according to the Vastu Shastra and all, because Krishna very clearly says that the misery and happiness in the life of a devotee is personally given by Krishna. It is not given by a Vastu Dosha. So therefore, one should depend on Krishna. That is why he says, prayaschittam tu na uchitam. So so one should not. I will share a few more points on this. There are some devotees who have joined this call who may be able to throw light more on this, because His Holiness Radhanath Swami Maharaj has shared a few points on this. So we will take this discussion. You please remember, we will address this point also little elaborately next time. So for now, we will pause here. So it is already 9 o'clock. So I am sure you must all be tired, you wanting to go to bed. So at this point of time, we'll pause here. I think this is going to be an elaborate discussion. And the next whole Tuesday, we will spend time with this one presentation and see if we can complete it. But it's a very essential presentation. We will definitely go through it, and we will take all the Q&As for this. Till we are all satisfied, we will continue it. So thank you very much for your patient listening. We will all meet again next Tuesday, hopefully Krishna willing, we will meet. Thank you very much. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Srila Raghunath Das Goswami Pad ki jai. Shri Manas Siksha ki jai. Hare Krishna. Thank you very much.